global sugar price has jumped in recent days. It broke through the 17 US cent per pound mark last night before closing just under, 16.98. So what's driving the rally? It is an intriguing and complex world, sugar marketing, and some of it has to do with the political turmoil in Brazil, where the president, Dilma Rousseff, is facing an impeachment trial.
Dilma Rousseff was defiant when she spoke after the impeachment vote.
What is in play in the impeachment process isn't just my mandate. What is in play is the respect of the polls, the sovereign will of the Brazilian people and the Constitution.
The Senate voted for her suspension 55-22, a marathon debate ending 13 years of rule by the leftist Workers' Party.
That's right. Global politics has a big role to play in the worldwide sugar price. And that then affects what growers here in Queensland will get in their back pocket. Sugar analyst Tom McNeil from Greenpool Commodities can explain a little bit more about what's going on. Tom, thanks for joining me. Why are events in Brazil playing such a role in the market?
Well, I guess Brazil's the biggest producer of sugar and ethanol. It's where the flexibility in production comes about because they are the biggest exporter. They've also got a capacity to move cane from either into sugar or into ethanol, and that gives a little bit of flexibility to the global price and production. But also the level of the currency is important, and so given Brazil is the biggest exporter of the global market, the level of the real, which is their currency, has been smashed in recent times with the global with the turmoil in Brazil.
Yeah, this political turmoil.
Absolutely, and also. They're in recession. Yep. The economics in Brazil is really quite difficult at the minute. So it's the prospect that now that President Rousseff moves off centre stage and she will be replaced for 6 months before the final determination is made. But that seemed to be giving the real, the currency, a bit of upward movement. And therefore, it also gives a bit of upside to the sugar price.
Ah, okay. So this is just one factor, though, of many, because then you've got how the weather is unfolding in India and affecting crops there. What else is happening around the world?
Well, I guess as a broad background, Craig, let's go through 15-16. We're in a deficit year, the first deficit year after 5 years of surplus.
This means a deficit of sugar.
Absolutely.
Everywhere.
So on a global market, yep, where about 8.6 million tonnes deficit. So production's actually 8.6 million tonnes below consumption after 5 years of deficit, as I said. Now, looking forward to 16-17, we're also projecting a deficit there. So 2 years of deficit, it looks like we're in a deficit cycle at last. And that's giving some upward impetus to price. But the ceiling has always been created by the level at which Brazilian producers will hedge their crop. And that's where the currency and the politics comes into it. Mm. It sort of lifts the ceiling of that the market can go to. And so, you know, while standing back from it 3 or 4 months ago, we might have said with the real closer to 4 to the US dollar, there was no way the market could have got past 15 cents. Now we're looking at a 17 cent price. And, you know, we could see further upside if in fact, the real continues to strengthen.
So a 17 cent per pound price in US dollar terms, what does that equate to on the ground back into Australian dollars per tonne, which is what growers often talk about?
Okay, well, to give you an idea, the 2015 harvest pool in Queensland yielded 383 Aussie dollars per tonne of sugar.
Yep.
Currently, right here and now, the indicative price for 2016 is around $520 a tonne. So growers who were patient or millers who've been patient to price some of their 2016 crop could have, in fact, in the last day or two, priced it at better than $500 a tonne. And not only that, but 2017 snuck over the $500 mark overnight as well with those higher prices. So, I mean, these levels we haven't seen for probably 5, 6, 7 years. So it's actually boosting the potential for the industry to earn income, not only in the coming season, but in future seasons as well.
Hence why there's a fair bit of pressure on millers and growers to sign supply contracts so that they can forward price into those big markets of 2017, 18 and so on, as you're talking about there.
Absolutely. And the Aussie dollar also coming off is helping a lot. Yeah. So, you know, while we were back at parity, certainly these levels, these sugar price levels wouldn't turn into much. But with a forward discount in the currency and levels around 73 cents at the minute, that's looking very attractive.
We're talking about the intriguing world of sugar with Tom McNeil at the moment on the Country Hour. Tom, who's buying? Is it speculators that are driving a lot of this price action, or is it actually people who want physical sugar at the end of the contract?
It'll be a mixture of both, Craig. It may even be some producers who are buying back their contracts in the hope of either selling it higher later or that they're not able to finance margins. That's probably not an issue just yet, but if the market was to go significantly higher in some countries, that could be an issue. But the specs and the funds are definitely taking a big interest in this market.
And what's happening at the moment in terms of Australian sugar? Is it often sold for this contract, the July contract?
Yeah, that's usually the first contract against which any Australian sugar is sold. So for the new season, some will go out against July, more against the October and the following March. So interestingly, the March is still the highest on the board, the highest price contract for next March. So, you know, millers and growers will be looking at that and saying, well, where should I be pricing? You know, where will we be shipping? And Thai millers, for instance, just held a physical contract tender for next March and May to try and lock in some of these good prices on the physical side. Undoubtedly on the futures side as well, they'll be looking at these prices and saying, wow, they're pretty attractive compared with where we've been.
And in saying that, Tom McNeil, peer into that crystal ball of yours if you don't mind. Where next for prices?
Well, you know, this market has pushed significantly higher. And, you know, given that there's a lot in the perspective from weather, we've come through a very dry period in Asia with El Nino. We've had a very wet period in Brazil with El Nino. Some meteorologists are claiming that there will be a La Nina coming up. So that would be a significant global weather event again. We've got a mix of the speculators chasing this market up because there's not a lot happening in a lot of other commodities. You know, you've got currencies moving around like crazy. You've got this very volatile situation in Brazil. You've got Brazil and India, the two biggest global producers, both with quite weak financial status within the milling industries. So, you know, there's a lot of factors out there to consider. You'd have to say, look, standing back from it, that the sugar market has a positive story, and that's what the funds and the specs are chasing. But we'll have to watch how it unravels in the next couple of months and see where prices go from here.
17.5 US cents, will it get there?
Oh, look, I think there's plenty of potential for upside if the market divorces itself from exactly what Brazil's doing. The reality is that Brazil is actually right here and now producing a lot of sugar, and it will over the next 6 months. So it's really only that look forward to the next production period in Asia. If that creates some serious issues that the total Brazilian production can't solve, then we'll have a very interesting situation on our hands, say, first quarter, second quarter next year. And I think that's what the market's looking towards. It's building up a picture of undersupply, of deficit, but it relies on a lot of things falling into place. So hence the volatility in the market. I think we'll continue to see a lot of volatility. We'll see some lower prices, some higher prices. But I suspect once this deficit hits out towards the end of the year, early next year, that's possibly going to be when the market peaks. And I wouldn't hazard to guess where that might be.